The presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran Sharif will beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant an apparel to its reader. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him a crown of honor. The Quran again will beg for additional favors for him. Thereupon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will award the reader a complete robe of honor. The Quran Sharif will again beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will express his pleasure to him. We find in this life that the pleasure of the beloved is considered to be the most coveted gift. Similarly, in the life hereafter, no bounty shall stand comparison with the pleasure of our beloved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in case of those who ignore the duty towards the Quran Sharif, it will challenge them saying, "Did you care for me? Did you fulfill your obligations towards me?" It has been reported on the authority of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala in Ihya, that it is a due right of the Quran Sharif that it should be read completely twice a year. Those of us who never care to read the Quran Sharif should first consider how they will defend themselves against such a strong plaintiff on the day of Qiyamah. That is inevitable and there can be no escape from it. The meaning of the expression exterior and interior of the Quran is evident. The Quran has an apparent meaning which can be understood by all, but the deeper spiritual significance is not understood by everybody. It is in this connection that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Whosoever expresses his personal opinion in respect of anything in the Quran Sharif commits a mistake, even if he be right in his opinion." Some ulama hold that the word exterior refers to its words, which can be recited properly by everybody, and the word interior, that is spirit, refers to its meanings and its underlying ideas, the understanding of which varies with the ability of the readers. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, "If you seek knowledge, you should meditate on the meanings of the Quran Sharif, because it embodies the history of former as well as of latter times. It is, however, essential to observe the prerequisites for the interpretation of the Quran Sharif. An unbecoming present-day fashion is that even those who possess little or no knowledge of Arabic vocabulary offer their personal opinion on the basis of vernacular translations of the Quran Sharif. Specialists have laid down that anyone attempting a commentary of the Quran Sharif should be well versed in the 15 subjects." Inshallah, we'll discuss this tomorrow, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Social etiquette. If one has hair, then he should wash it, comb it, and apply oil to it. This should be done with a beard as well. However, to become immersed in it is foolishness. If white hairs start appearing, then one should not pluck them out. It is better for youngsters to remove their hair than keeping hair. It is better for women to apply mehndi henna to her hands, if not, then at least on the nails. One should apply surma, antimony, to one's eyes 3 times each. Keep the house neat and tidy. Do not gather all filth and junk even in front of the house. Occasionally use ether perfume. Do not keep pictures in the house. Playing backgammon, chess, etc., flying pigeons, being engaged with music and musical instruments are all prohibited. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Hazrat's Barakat. This morning at around 3:30 Sari time, I saw myself in a dream walking from the wuzu khana on our right hand side of the masjid, and I was coming into the area between the zikr room and the mutalaga of the Hibs boys. And there I noticed Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi sitting on his wheelchair, and he was reclining to one side, supporting his cheek with his hand. As I entered, I see him sitting alone, so he asked, "Are there any imams who will make khidmat?" So I ran into the mutalaga, and I noticed 3 ulama sitting there studying kitab, so I called them. Among them was one of my classmates also, one of Siraj Parker, who was in, I think, Swaziland or Botswana, making imamat. In Botswana. So they rushed through to Hazrat, and one began massaging his back while sitting on the wheelchair, and I took hold of Hazrat's left leg, and I found it full of bandages because of him sitting on a wheelchair for a long time. So I went to remove his socks or moza it was, and then he called another attendant to remove it, and he says, "Please clip my nails of my left foot. It's long time I haven't paired my nails." So I rushed to get some newspaper to put it under Hazrat's foot, and the attendant, the khadim, clipped Hazrat's nails. Thereafter, Hazrat got up from the chair quite healthily, and he ran towards the masjid. And from the behind, I could see Hazrat's legs were quite weak, and his feet were blistered. But the way he ran into the masjid like a young boy. Thereafter, I went to the zikr room, and I became a bit emotional, thinking that this is Qutb al-Aqtab, and he was the one that wrote Fazail al-A'mal, which had a great impact on my life also.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله المولانا العظيم. As far as this dream is concerned, it's quite evident it's a very blessed Mubarak dream, and that Hazrat Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who is my Shaykh Awwal, his tawajjuh, his duas are towards us. That Hazrat has come here and he came into the masjid here. And really, this i'tikaf silsila is all the barakat of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayh. We learn from Hazrat Shaykh, and these programs also, more or less, are all how it will, we used to have the programs in Saharanpur by Hazrat. So alhamdulillah, Allah shukar that we have the tawajjuh and we have the du'as of our elders. And when they also making du'a, it is for us that we must also try and take it from it, their tawajjuh. Let us receive it, let us accept it, inshallah. Yesterday, Haji Sahib asked me a very nice, very important question. He's just returning from Umrah also. And this is a thing which everyone faces there. We see how the people are dressed, especially children. Like Haji Sahib said, the mothers, they are Islamically dressed. But that also 99% is only the jilbab. But under that, it's 99%, it's not Islamic dress also. And the children, very clearly you see how they dress, what their behavior is, unfortunately. So we spoke about that we must not look down upon anyone. Now when you see these things, then almost like automatically, it comes in a person and you think Haram Sharif, Haram of Makkah, Haram of Medina, and this Bay Adabi, this was clothing with murat, with pictures on it, music in the shoes. Many things today they have put music into it also, and right here by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right at the Kaaba Sharif. So a person does this. So I explained to Haji Sahib what we heard from our elders. One is that don't look at this, don't look down on the sinner, look down on the sin. Don't hate the sinner, you must hate the sin. It's very important to differentiate. The wrong what they are doing is wrong. Nobody can condone that, their dressing, etc. And as far as we can help, we must try and correct if we can. Or at least we make dua. Then as far as the person himself is concerned, we should think that there must be some great qualities in them, that Allah brought them. For if this is their dressing here, at home, what must be their environment? What must be their lifestyle? That we are going to Haram of Makkah, we are going for Umrah, we are going to Medina Sharif, and usually everyone, no matter who it is, whatever level you are, when you're going there, you make some adjustment. So what must be the environment at home? When here they are dressing like this, what must be the environment at home? And they sacrifice, so it's a big sacrifice for them, which we cannot understand and which we cannot see. But for them, many things they have given up when they came for Umrah. And they are not doing those things which they are doing at home. So that is one big sacrifice. Also, we don't know what in whose heart and in their private life Allah likes, only Allah knows. So we must not become judges. This is a thing, a person easily becomes judgmental. We see the outward action of a person and we make a judgment for that person. We don't know what his reality is with Allah Ta'ala. And what some quality Allah loves. And that same what we are taught, that every day we should make this muraqabah and say to ourselves, hal mein تمام مسلمانوں میں عبد الحمید تو سب سے بدتر اور کمتر ہے. Say your own name, that presently of all the Muslims in the world, then you take your name and you say, I am the lowest and I am the worst. اور معال کے اعتبار سے, and as far as death is concerned, تمام جانوروں اور کافروں میں, then take your name, عبد الحمید تو سب سے بدتر اور کمتر ہے. You are the lowest and you are the worst compared to all the non-Muslims also. The explanation of this is, and from that we will be able to understand that how we must not look down on these people also. The sin we will look down on, the sin we will hate, but not them. That for Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written that a certain person in a certain village was the worst you could think of. Whatever sin you could think was in him, drinking, gambling, womanizing, whatever you can think of, coming home every night 1-2 o'clock in the morning, drunk. And then he passed away. When he passed away, nobody came for his janaza. Not friends, not neighbors, not family, town people, nobody. Because all thought, what a bad man this is. So 3 days passed like this, his janaza was lying in the house. Now the body will blow up, etc. So the wife hired 4 workers, laborers. She paid them and she told them, now you take his body, and how you people know how to give ghusl, laborers usually, they don't have all deeni knowledge, even if they are Muslims. You give him ghusl, as you know. You put kafan, take him to the qabristan. If there is somebody to make janaza namaz, well and good. If not, then just bury him even without janaza. Because now his body is going to swell up, it will burst, diseases will spread. They gave ghusl, gave kafan, took the body to the qabristan. Then Allah made ilham, put in the heart of the great wali and alim and buzurg of that time, that my wali's janaza is in the qabristan. Get up and then perform his janaza namaz. So when this great imam, buzurg, mufti, khatib, when he got up, the whole town went behind him. When they came there, they found it's this person. They made the janaza, they buried him, but they went straight to his wife's house. And they asked her, what kind of a man was your husband? We always thought him to be the worst. But Allah said, my wali's janaza. So she said, as you people know him, I also know him to be the same. He was as everyone knows. But however, he had 2 qualities in him. One was, he used to come so late, drunk, etc. And in a napa, a filthy condition. But he early hour of the morning, he should bath in cold water. He should become sober. He should cry to Allah Ta'ala. He should make tawbah. Ya Allah, which corner of Jahannam have you kept for me? I'm the worst of all. I commit the worst sins. Another thing, he always kept the orphan in the house. And before he ate, he fed the orphan. Before clothes for him, he gave the orphan clothes. So on this, Allah made him his wali. So we cannot judge. And we have experienced in our life some people around here that everyone writes them off what they are. But we saw when the maut came, what Mubarak maut they got. So we can't judge for anyone. So don't see the outside. We don't know what any person, what he's got inside. And as far as maut is concerned, we'll just complete that also. Once I asked Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that how can we think ourselves lower than kafirs, non-believers? Because I told him, in that case it looks like we are making iman to be lower than kufr. Allah has blessed us with iman. And they haven't got iman. How can we think ourselves lower? That iman can't be lower than kufr. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also explained to me the same thing. That is, as far as maut is concerned, there are so many people who before maut they read kalima. And nobody gave us guarantee we're going to die on iman. So you have to have that fear. So with this possibility that that person is today a kafir, but at the time of maut, he might read kalima. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind rahmatullah alayhi saw one Hindu of Deoband in a dream, who he knew in Deoband in the town. He's in Jannat, walking around in Jannat. So he told him, Lalaji, how they refer to Hindus, how come you came here? Ye to mamnu ud-dukhul. No entry for Hindus. For non-Muslims, they can't enter Jannat. Jannat is no entry for them. How come you came here? So he says, Mullah ji, referring to Maulana, that marne se pehle pehle maine ankahat keh di, just before I die, what was taboo for me, what was haram for me to say, la ilaha illallah, I read kalima. So when he died with kalima. So there are many people like that. Now maybe about 7-8 years ago, we returned from one of our suffers. It was just before Bakrid we returned. And the whole family got together in Rudikot by Maulana Imran Godania's place, my brother-in-law. And he explained that at that time, and in fact it is quite interesting, let me just say it since I've started the subject, we were in Delhi first, where Apa, my wife's cousin, is there, and we were staying at his place. And he's got a very top position in the post office. He's an inspector. So his mattress is almost 99% at work with the Hindus, because most of the employees of the post office there are Hindus. So he told us that most of them, from what I know, that in their heart they are Muslims. They've realized Hinduism is no religion and it's nothing that you can live by. But just because of government pressure, family, social pressure, they can't express it. From there we went to Iran. And first we stopped in Tehran, the capital. Actually we were on our way to Zahidan. Here in Tehran, we had made arrangements before. There is one Maulana Ubaidullah, and we were going to stay at his place, and he had arranged a program for the ulama. When there were ulama who came, and their dressing, when they are in the house, they dress like us, like how our Islamic dressing, but outside they can't. They have to wear a dust coat, they have to remove their topi also, because they are too much against them, the government, the people also. So anyway, while we made the bayan, there was one person who was taking a lot of effect, nodding his head. I can see he's taking good effect. So after that we were having some tea, etc. So I asked, who is this person? So he said he's a Shia who became a Muslim. So I was surprised and happy. So they said, nothing to be surprised about. Plenty of the Shias are becoming Muslims. And they also realize that Shiaism is no religion. And that the true religion is Islam, our religion. So there is more detail, very interesting also, that Karguzari. But anyway, then we came home. Then here we were by Maulana Imran, and he told us, in the past few months, quite a few Hindus of Rudipur and Azadwal, before they passed away, they told their family that we have accepted Islam long ago. When we die, you must give us ghusl as Muslims, kafan, and bury us in the Muslim Qabristan. So we don't know who that person outwardly he is, and inwardly he may be a Muslim, and we got no guarantee. So on that basis we say that, Ya Allah, I'm worse than even the kafirs and the animals. For them there is no punishment, no Jahannam. If any animal did wrong to another animal, revenge, they will be able to be given permission to mete out that revenge, and they will be turned to dust. And to be turned to dust is definitely million times better than going in Jahannam and suffering the consequences and the fire and the tortures of Jahannam. So therefore we make this, that on this possibility that person might die as a Muslim, and I got no guarantee. So we must never think of ourselves as better than anyone in any way. Never look down upon anyone. We were on that subject, that never look down upon anyone. The wrong he's doing, and we have to learn to differentiate between the sin and the sinner. And the sin we will hate, the sin we will talk against, but the sinner we must try and win him over. However we can, that kufr must go out of him, and he's Allah's creation. He must become a jannati. Whatever wrong he's doing, that must go out. So may Allah Ta'ala let us not look down upon anyone. The minute a person looks down upon somebody, he himself falls from the eyes of Allah. It can be the greatest buzurg also. And the story is famous about Shaykh Abdullah Andalusi, rahmatullah alayh, that he had about 10,000 murids. They were traveling, they passed a certain town where there were predominantly Christians, Jews and fire worshippers. It was time for Asr, and those people refused to give them water for their wuzu for Asr. 10,000 people. You know, what the masjid account will come, what your house account will come, giving water for 10, so they refused. So anyway, they went out of the town and they came to a place where there was a well. and people were taking out water. So there they started making wuzu, getting prepared for namaz. Then there was a young Christian girl, and the Sheikh Abdullah Andalusi, when his eyes just fell on her unintentionally, but she caught his attention, and he fell in love with her, and he wanted to marry her. She said, he didn't want to do anything haram. She said, no problem, you can marry me, but you have to get my parents' permission. If they agree, I'm also prepared to get married. Spoke to the parents, they said, no problem, but first you must become a Christian. So he was even prepared for that. And they said, for us to be convinced that you are genuinely from your heart, you are becoming a Christian, not just in convenience, but actually you are becoming, you must for 1 year look after the pigs. Look after the pigs for 1 year. That also he was prepared. And he did that for 1 year. But this side, his murids were also genuine. They had true love for their share. They knew this thing has happened, so they were crying to Allah. Their du'as got accepted. After 1 year, they went back there. And then when he saw them, first he told them that what I had, I've lost the first time. He told them that which was in my heart is gone out. That iman, that love of Allah, everything, it is gone out. And now after 1 year when they came, then he also, Allah changed his heart again. He cried, he made tawbah, and he came back and Allah gave him his position with his murids again. But this also, it wasn't just that his eyes fell. There was one thing before that happened, and that is important. When they didn't give them water, he looked down upon them. That these are fire worshippers. They worship Jesus, Isa al-Islam, as the Son of God, as God himself, etc. They've got wrong beliefs, and we are Muslims, and we have to make asr, and they can't give us water. We are better than them. Just on that, Allah made him involved in this. Whenever we get involved in a guna, we miss namaz or anything, there is something before that, that we had done wrong, that now it came out in this way here. You have a fight with somebody, with your wife, you go home, everything normal. Today suddenly she's just now shouting, and she's angry, and she doesn't want to talk with you also. There's something that happened before that. Why? Allah is using her now to punish you. It's not on her own. وَكَذَٰلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. Allah says, those who are the more wrongdoers, we use them to punish the less wrongdoers. So even in the world, no country is our enemy, no nation is our enemy. It is our guna, and then Allah uses them to punish us. Then we say, these people are bad like this, this country is bad. Actually, our guna, our only guna, and our only enemy, and biggest enemy, is our sins, our guna. On account of that, Allah uses these people then to punish us. Otherwise, Allah says clearly in the Quran Sharif, مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What has Allah got to do to punish you? If you make shukr and you bring proper iman, if you are proper, there is no need for Allah. Whatever goes wrong in our lives, so we blame somebody else, but actually it is something we have done wrong somewhere. And this is whatever happens, whatever, if somebody steals your thing, somebody swears you, fights with you, whatever happens, only happens by the will of Allah. That we all have got iman. It's only Allah's will. And Allah doesn't just at random, this person get a heart attack, that person's son became a drug addict, that person's wife, his daughter eloped with somebody. It doesn't just happen like that. There is something that we have done, because of which then Allah Ta'ala punishes us. So we have to correct ourselves. It comes clearly in a hadith of Qudsi, مَنْ أَصْلَحَ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ رَبِّهِ. A person who corrects his matters between him and his Rabb, between Allah, we correct our, أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ مَا بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ خَلْقِهِ. Then Allah corrects our matters between us and the creation. We have got to fight with somebody, somebody is not paying us, somebody is causing us inconvenience. It is actually something of ours that we have done, that Allah is using those people. And we must correct our matter with Allah. Allah will correct these matters. So that is important to realize. And we must not look down upon anyone. No matter who it is, don't look down upon him. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshallah. And then, as we had also explained, that this is a glorious month in which Allah Ta'ala has put so many things together for us at one time. The month is so great. The rozas, the Quran Sharif, and then the du'as of this month, then here for us, We have got the Kharta, we have got the programs from morning to night. Everything Allah has put. The example of this, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, also he gave a very beautiful example. He says that, for example, there is a beautiful orchard. And you are sent in this orchard. The orchard has got three separate sections. And you are sent in this orchard, and you are given a basket. And said you can pick fruit as much as you want to, your basket. Once your basket is full, you can't take more. And you can't reverse, come back. You must just keep on moving front. So he goes into the first section of the orchard, and he sees, Abad, what wonderful, great fruit there is. So he wants to take, but as he lifts his eyes, he sees in the next section, even more better fruit. So he says, if I fill my basket here, then I won't be able to take that better fruit, so let me leave my basket empty. So he goes into the next section, and there, Abad, he finds the fruit is even more better than the previous. So he wants to fill here, but again, suddenly he looks up, and he sees in front it's even more better. So he says, if I fill my basket, I won't be able to have just that better fruit. So he doesn't fill. He goes into the next section. But that section was like a mirror section. And in a mirror, everything looks really more beautiful. In a picture, photo, in a mirror, things look even more better. So when he came there, he saw there was nothing, empty. And now he's out of the garden. And he can't reverse, you can't come back. And he's empty, he's gone without anything. He gives the example, the first section is our childhood. When people are children, then you say that there's not time for ibadat and becoming a Sufi and becoming a big buzurg and that. You're still a small child. So this, even the house people, good pious people also say that this is not the time to play. One time, Bahlul was a great buzurg. He was walking and he saw a little children playing on the street. So one child was standing one side, he wasn't playing. So he thought the child is sad, he hasn't got whatever they were playing with, like marbles or top or whatever in that time. So he's a poor child, he can't afford it. So he told him, my child, I'll buy you something and you can also play. He says, uncle, have we come in this world to play? So he got a shock. Hazrat Behlul himself, what a great buzurg he was, Mazurg, great buzurg. And a small child telling him, have we come in this world to play? He said that, but you're still only a child. He says, I see when my mother lights the fire, then she doesn't put the big logs and she lights it. She first puts the small twigs and the small little pieces of wood. When they're burning nice, then she puts the bigger wood, etc. So he said, I'm afraid Qiyamah's day, small children like us, Allah will start the fire with us. And afterwards he'll put the big sinners later than that. So anyway, so this first section is your childhood. Then you pass this, I'm not going to make ibadat, play, and just play around and take life casually, easily. You go to the next section, now there it is your time when you get married, and you start business, earning money, etc. So now also you want to take the fruit, amal of akhirah, but what shaitan tells you, what you feel, what people tell you, there is a time, now you are married, it's time to make babies now. You are just newly married. And it's time now to make money, business now. There is a time for business. There's not a time you're a young man, 25, 35, to sit and make ibadat of Allah. Make money now. And there's a limit up now, enjoy. Then you think, okay, later, when my old age will come, I will have nothing to do. Then I'll make lot of ibadat. But that's just a mirror. Suddenly maut comes, and there maut takes you away, and you went empty. So this our Shaykh Damat Barakah Rahmatullah Ali has put in a very beautiful poem. He says, Qada aake, Qada meaning maut. Qada aake, maut came. Bahosh ko behosh kar gaye. The person who was in his full senses, now he's senseless. He can't move a finger, he can't make a signature. He can't say yes, he can't say no, he's lying dead now. Qada aake, bahosh ko behosh kar gaye. Hangama hayat ko khamosh kar gaye. All the high wage of dunya, I must do this, I must build this, I must go there, book, make this bookings, go there. Everything, suddenly it's all quiet. And so quiet, the people who come to the house, to the mayyat house, and they ask what happened, those people also can't talk. They also dumb. They also, their mouth can't open also. Suddenly, when there is a sudden death, especially in the youth, and there are so many people who in the prime of their lives, when they at the height of things, suddenly mort just comes. Motor car accident, or whatever else it happens, suddenly you just die. So these things do happen. So this is how mort comes, and you prepare nothing for akhirah. So for us, let us think, we might think, there's still the beginning of Ramzan. Like we who can have few brothers, mashallah, who came before Ramzan. That now the programs also are not still so properly. When Ramzan starts, then we'll also get started. So Ramzan starts now. It's still the first ashara. And when afterwards, second ashara, then I'll get serious. Then I'm going to make my ibadat and make my islah. Second ashara, oh, the third ashara is the most valuable. And Allah's rahmat comes down so much in the third. I'll get everything in one ashara, the last ashara. And as the days pass, I'm waiting for the big night. That I'm waiting for 27 night. Then I'm waiting for the last night, the night of prize giving. You did nothing and you're waiting for prize giving night. And what prizes you going to get if you did nothing? So shaitan deceives us like this. Our nafs deceives us like this, that we'll do it later. So let us not be fooled. Fill up as much as we can. From the beginning, as much as we can, fill up and take whatever we can for our akhirah. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. This ayat about parda and about not looking at the opposite sex, where Allah Ta'ala said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَهُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that believers must cast their gazes low. Further, Allah Ta'ala told the woman separately, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَهُضُّنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, that they must also, some of their gazes they must put down. Don't look at other strange men. And looking at, even just alal itlaq, not, you mustn't look, man must not look at woman, they must not look, even if it's without lust. And if it's with lust, then it is much more haram, of course. In the same way, the woman must not look at man, even if it isn't without lust. Sharia, there is a permission. A doctor, for example, an optician, he has to look right into the eyes of his patient. Not only anywhere else, but he has to actually, and with a magnified glass, he looks right into the eye. So where it is necessary, the masalas of Sharia are there. But just looking unnecessarily, and with lust, then it is of course totally haram. So women also, moreover, women have been given by Allah Ta'ala more sharam, haya, modesty. They also have desire, but their sharam, haya is more greater. So therefore, sin usually, especially in the past, should not initiate from the woman's side. The man should initiate. But today, and the shaitan, the enemy, and he's used these agents, that even women, girls also, they also try and attract boys, try and make advances to boys, to men, etc. So today's time, it is much more difficult. So anyway, so the women also have been commanded that they also must cast some of their gaze. You don't have to look all the time down. But those when men, strange men come, then a woman, her command also Allah Ta'ala is, she must also look down. This is Allah's command. And for example, if there is any place where there isn't parda, so it doesn't give you license to look around, neither for the man to look at the woman, and neither for the woman to look at man. If the people are not observing, they haven't got sharam haya, they haven't got modesty, they are just mixing with all. At all these times, a person must think that what Allah's command is on me, I have to observe that. One time we were with Hazrat in Mauritius, and we were going in this glass bottom boats, and this coral reef, and this beautiful, the fish, different colors, and plants which are in the sea, what Allah's qudrat. So they show it to you in this glass bottom boats. So Hazrat, what a foresight Allah has blessed these men. So Hazrat, I didn't even know, no idea. Hazrat took a lungi with before time. When we got there, the person who was in charge of the boat was one local person, dark in complexion, very thin also, and no attraction in him in any, and a male. So Hazrat told me, take this lungi and tell him to cover his private parts, the thighs. So I told Hazrat, he's not a Muslim, he's not mukallaf. He's not responsible, he's not a Muslim. So Hazrat said, this is the point that I wanted to make. He's not mukallaf, we are mukallaf. That we are not allowed to look at his body between his neighbor and his knees. Even if he's a non-Muslim, they dress like that. For them it means nothing. But we are not allowed to look. And we're going to be with him on the boat all the time. For the next 45 minutes, 1 hour, we're going. So naturally our eyes will fall. And there was no attraction. I told Hazrat that also. Hazrat, there is no attraction. Hazrat said there is not a matter of attraction, whether you get tempted, you get attracted. There is no matter. We must not look. We are not allowed to look. Then Hazrat gave him that lungi as a gift and told him, whenever you take people, then always cover yourself. Don't just dress out, just with that little bit they dress, the whole body is empty. So anyway, so if the woman don't observe parda anywhere, our family woman, our cousins and sisters-in-law, etc. So it doesn't now mean there isn't parda for us. They don't observe, we have to observe. We must keep our distance. We must make sure that we stay separate and we keep our gazes low. If they don't observe, that doesn't absolve us. We must still also observe our, what we have to do, we must observe. Also, in these cases, what commonly, as we have mentioned, Maulana Usman Kadwa had said, that when many of us had the same condition, before we entered study, we didn't know about deen, the details of deen, so we were making parda from our cousin, female cousins, sisters-in-law, etc., and used to be quite friendly with them, joking, talking, everything. So when we came back now after studies, now we became conscious. We realized the commands of Allah. So he also asked Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, that these cousins of mine, females, that we are quite open and free, we joke, we talk, and when I go back, naturally they're going to come and meet me. They'll even give their hands to make salam, to greet, without any bad intention. Just as a cousin, as a family member. But now we realize it's haram and we don't want to hurt their feelings also. That is a common thing that we say. So Hazrat Ji, this is the way of our buzurgs. He made a circle on that part that he wrote, we don't want to hurt their feelings. And he drew a line and an arrow and there he wrote then that dil shitni ki fikr hai. You are worried that you don't want to hurt the feelings of anyone. Hukam shikni ki fikr nahi. You are not worried of breaking the law of Allah. That you want to displease Allah, that you are not worried. Many of us, there's a wedding in the family, for example. I know there's going to be music, they're going to be videoing, there's going to be a lot of haram things, intermingling of the sexes is going to be taking place. So you say, you ask a masala, that what must I do? So what you get your answer, that you're not allowed to go. La yajuzul hudur. Fil majlis fihi al mahzur. Wherever a haram is taking place, it's not permitted to be present in such a gathering. But then what you say? They'll feel bad. All my uncles, my parents, my brothers, my brother is getting married, they're going to feel bad. So, one thing, realize that the your happiness, your control of your life is not in your parents' hands, not in your brother's hands, not in those people you want to please. It's only in Allah's hands. And if you want to please people, how many people are you going to please? Everyone, somebody will go to this limit, somebody to that limit, somebody to this. How much are you going to please the people? To please one Allah is very easy. And everything is in the hands of Allah. And for them also, explain to them. You put one barakat in the marriage. You want Allah's rahmat to come. You want happiness between the husband and wife. And it's not in your making all this party and all this videoing and music and all that. Your happiness is not in that. Happiness is in the hands of Allah. And you don't want happiness for one day only. And then forever you're going to, you are fighting all the time. You want to give talaq, you want to divorce. You want happiness forever. So that is in Allah's hands. So explain to them. And also, which our Shaykh Ahmad Barakatum Jazahum Allah Khair Rahmatullah Ali used to explain, that there is a wedding taking place in the family. And if you don't attend, they're going to get upset. So before the wedding, go and visit them. And take a present for them. And tell them, see, I want to be present. I like to be present. You are my family. You are my friends. And I brought this present for you. But on wedding day, these wrong things that are going to be taking place, so therefore I won't be able to be present. Please excuse me. But I've got feeling for you. I don't want, your happiness is my happiness. So I've come before time, when all these things are still not happening. So in that way, you kept your family ties also, and you did not break the law of Allah also. And explain, and this way you get a chance to make tabligh, amar bil ma'aruf, nahi anil munkar, to inform them what the right thing is. If you just stay away, they think that you're upset with something else. No, explain to them why, what's your problem, why you can't come. And make them understand that they also get it. So anyway, so this parda is very, very important, the separation which Allah has ordered. Allah has created us, and who can know us better than Allah Ta'ala? Huwa a'lamu bikum. Allah knows you more better. A person when he wraps his parcel, he knows what is in that parcel. There is nobody who can know us more. We don't know ourselves how much Allah knows us. And when we say, well, if I talk to women, my cousins, I don't get any bad feeling. They're my cousins, I talk to them. So who knows you better, you or Allah? In other words, by that you are saying that I know what law should have been made. Allah doesn't know. Na'uzu billah, it's a very serious statement to say that for me nothing happens. I talk with my cousins, I talk with my aunties, those from whom I have got parda to make. And I talk with them and nothing happens. So these laws don't apply to me. They apply to those people who have got some desire. Then why did Allah make the laws? And Allah knows us better than what we know ourselves. So also this is a serious thing. Many people, Sheikh Muhyiddin from Madinatul Munawwara, he was visiting us here, and in one discussion with regard to this iqal, the Arabs wear, that on the head, that string they fasten around, iqal. So somebody asked him, one great alim, somebody asked him, it's permissible. So he said, bring that iqal here. And he put it on his head. So he said, anyone ask you, tell them that I wore it, this big alim. So he says, na'uzu billah, are we the makers of Sharia? Even the greatest alim, he's not the maker of Sharia. Sharia is from Allah Ta'ala's side. So by you wearing it and say that I wear it, so it's kosher. This is like one mufti sahib in our country. Somebody asked him, is coke permissible? So he said, bring the coke, I'll drink it. So because I'm drinking it, so it's permissible. There is no proof. By you drinking, you can be the greatest mufti and the greatest wali also. Your actions, Sharia is made by Allah. And Sharia is explained by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is the one who makes Sharia, not in our hands, that we can make Sharia. And we also many times we say, Mufti sahib's wife drives, or Maulana's wife goes shopping, so it's permissible. That's their own actions. That doesn't justify it for us at all. So anyway, all these laws we must maintain. So parda for women also is absolutely essential. Allah has made it. And if we want a healthy society, and we want good children with the good brains and healthy children, observe the laws of Allah Ta'ala. All these things have an effect on us. All this, and it is not only the mixing of the family, the woman, etc. Then many things can start happening from there. And if a young boy also, when his mind is kept clear and clean, he becomes a strong mind. And in knowledge also, intelligence also, determination also, confidence also is built inside. A man, a boy who stays with men. Mawlana Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi, in his time, 800 years ago, he says when you want to let a pony learn to gallop fast, just put him with the other big horses who gallop fast. When he sees them, he'll also start galloping and running like the big horses. He'll also learn like that. So if these children, we leave them in the sports, in the computer games, in the music, in all these things, you are destroying those children. We are thinking that, remember the West, their system is to destroy, and they are so overpowering that even our thoughts, they control our thinking. That what's wrong in playing games, what's wrong in this, in their dressing like this, if they dress like this, everything. Haji Fakhruddin of Durban, who is passed away, now very close with Haji Bepadia, in very old age he had passed away. He said one of his grandson, great-grandson, the mother bought a cowboy suit for him, a small boy, 4 or 5 years. When he wore it, not a cowboy, police clothes. When he wore it, he started acting like the police. How police, how they carry on, we act like that. So clothes have an immediate effect on a person. If we wear white clothes, plain clothes, it builds that mind, it makes that mind strong. And we wear all these flimsy clothes like women, today men also got bracelets, and they also got all rings, etc. It shows that man has got a weak mind, and that mind is weak. These things make you, all these things have a direct effect on a person. So therefore mixing with women also all the time, is unhealthy. It's not at all encouraged. Even if it's family, woman, etc. Even in with your own brothers and sisters, let the boys play with the boys. Let the girls play with the girls. There is no parda between boys and girls, the brothers and sisters. But let boys be with boys. And the games they play, etc., all also must be that which are for men. They will become men like that. And if they, all these things which are happening today, this computer games and all these things, we are destroying them. And then we wonder that no more is somebody like Imam Ghazali is produced. One time, one good friend of mine, Maulana, and we were sitting, it was a ijtima, and he ordered some fish and chips, and right at the back we were sitting and going to eat. There's also another aspect, many of us, we go to such occasions, ijtima, jalsa, but we just take it for entertainment. The bayan, nobody is listening. And we were sitting at the back and having some coffee, having tea, and we went ijtima. But you weren't in the ijtima, you weren't in the jalsa, you were doing your own thing all the time. Anyway, he sent his son to go and buy the fish and chips. When he brought it, when the boy was dressed with jeans, t-shirt, tackies, and his name was Zainul Abidin. So I told him, I know his love for our buzurg. You kept his name under the name of Mufti Zainul Abidin Sahib Rahmatullah. That Allah must make him also like Mufti Sahib. But I told him, with this clothes, Mufti Sahib didn't wear this kind clothes. And then he became Mufti Zainul Abidin. How his parents must have looked after him. Read in Abbiti how Hazrat Shaykh, his father, how he was particular on the small, small points. And then he became Hazrat Shaykh. All these things don't just happen like that. We keep what names? Now Ustad, Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He says if a person plants weeds, nobody plants weeds first of all. There isn't a stupid person in the world who plants weeds. But if a person plants weeds, and he makes dua and he hopes that roses must grow, how stupid isn't he? So we bring up our children like weeds. We don't bring them up properly. But our dua, one place we were in our safar at one place, and the house person excused himself in the morning. He said, I have to go very early. He didn't tell us why. Afterwards we learned to drop his daughter at university. And then the other baby that was born, a little girl, he told us, make dua that Allah makes her like a sahabi, sahabiyat. By university your daughter will become a sahabiyat. Our action is totally against what dua we making and what our actions are. Sending in the kufr, in the fire of Jahannam, you send your daughter and you say, make dua that she must become a jannati. How can that happen? So we have to have this reality. So anyway, parda is very, very important, and for women also to guard their gazes. And for that is Allah Ta'ala's command that they also must not look at other men. And for women, the parda also. Today it is where we have gone, what we have made of our deen. Women wear now jilbab, cloaks, and the amount of bead work and fancy, it totally defeats the object of the burqa. The burqa, Abu Dawud Sharif's riwayat, it should be such that there is no attraction for any man. In fact, it should be a little dirty, that when men see it, your heart goes off. That is how it should be. But now that the jilbab and the burqa, the cloak has got so much of attraction in it, that is no parda. We are just bluffing ourselves. We are making ourselves happy that we are in parda, the woman, but that is no parda. And then again, it must be plain. It must be completely loose. As far as possible that you don't make out the shape of the body whatsoever. The tight cloaks, etc. And with all the bead work and all the fancy work on it, that we mustn't bluff ourselves that I'm wearing cloaks, I'm in parda. That is no parda whatsoever. The actual parda of a woman is to stay at home. Only when it's absolutely necessary, then she emerges, comes out of her house. And that also then dressed properly. While we were in Durban, it was the end period of it. When the first time I went, we were going on the bicycle rickshaw on the public roads. But I thought we are going in the backyards of people. So small those roads are so narrow. Just perhaps a meter and a half. Some gullies are so narrow. And such a narrow gully, a woman from this side when she wanted to visit the house on that side, then how would she go? They would have a palki. This was an Islamic tradition all along. We saw it right at the last one. Now it's gone out there also. This palki is how can we explain it? What you put on top of a camel for the people to sit on. It's got a platform, and then it's got curtains on all four sides. And it's got hand like our janaza, how we carry the janaza. But this is a bit more square and a bit higher. So they would bring it to this side of the house, lift up the curtain, put it against the house. The woman will enter there. They will drop that curtain again, and that 1.5 meter move it this side. And then she'll get up in this house, go into the door, into this house. Nobody even saw her in any way. This type of tarbiyah, this is Islamic tradition which we are totally, we don't know about it also. We can't think about it, and you won't read it about it. They will keep it away from us. Today we will see the woman, and what now? For Eid, Eid's Eve, or just before Eid, there is an advertisement of women that they let this woman do this catwalk. And they're going to wear burqas like that. And they're going to be modeling, Muslim women will be modeling for burqas. What is deen and what are we making out of? And we are, is this deen? And we are making a mockery out of deen. And really the things will open in the qabr when it will be too late. So anyway, all that. Then the very important thing, the main parda of a woman, she must be in the house. If she emerges, wear unattractive clothing, her outer garment. Her inside garment must be for her husband, for the family people. She dresses beautifully, wonder, nice dress, but that must be only for the family people, not for outside people. Outside, that is now the burqa, just to cover all that. And then the most important of the woman is the face. The greatest attraction is the face. The face must be covered. And in the face, the most important are the eyes. The eyes must also be covered. Today, perhaps 99% the burqa that women wear, the eyes are open. And the eyes are the most important. The whole body, and in the body, the face is the greatest attraction. And in the face, the greatest thing is the eyes. And eyes, they tell such stories. The sign of the eye, what and what is not being said. And also, women must not be deceived. There are those men who write the condition, and they say we get more attracted to burqa women than women who are not in burqa. And if the eyes are open, that has got a special attraction for us. And this is not our way whatsoever. The eyes also have to be covered. And with the eye contact that is made, that is what and what is not said with the eye. Just with the one sign of the eye, lot of things are said. So that is also necessary. And the parda which is in Islam, for example, in the West, of course, there is nudity there. Forget there is no parda, there is nudity there. And they can't understand where they have made women so cheap that there isn't even a box of matches that doesn't sell without a naked woman's picture. To attract anyone for anything, they have to put a naked picture there of a woman. So they have made women so cheap, they haven't given value to women. Hillary Clinton herself has written a book, and she said that the biggest mistake we made is taking our women out of the houses and putting them into offices, into shops, etc. And she said this is a non-reversible wrong that we have done. To get the woman back into the houses is almost an impulse. The only thing that can do it is the laws of Islam. As Islam did it before, today also Islam can do it. Liquor was made haram, and all 100%, all the people of Medina abstained from liquor totally. They tried it in America in the 40s for about a 3-year period, and they found that the period when they banned liquor, it was consumed more than when it was open. So it's only Islam that can bring the laws of Allah, and this brings a healthy, a good society. So this is very important also, that and if we want a good society, to maintain the laws of Allah Ta'ala. See, in front of butter, in front of fire, if you put butter and butter doesn't melt, then that is not butter. In the same way, in front of woman, if a man comes and he doesn't have any feeling, he's not a man. You can call him whatever else you want to, but you can't call him a man. A man has to have, will have feelings, naturally have feelings. The philosophy of the West is that light the fire, but don't burn. But be careful, young boys and girls, let them go for an excursion. They spend the weekend together at some resort also, young boys, but see that they don't do anything wrong. Islamic philosophy, don't light the fire. So there's no question of burning also. Don't let them mix also. So there's no question of any haram that can happen. And also, we must not bluff ourselves that the boy is still only 5 years, 6 years. In our times now, they are much more conscious of these matters long before we could even ever dream of it before. They are very, very conscious of all these matters. So even if they are playing, children, if you don't hear them what they say, but they must be seen all the time. They mustn't go and play in a closed bedroom. The boys and girls all playing there. They all have come to visit at nanny's house or daddy's house, and they all playing there. That must not be allowed. We don't know what and what happens there. And this weakens the mind. And when your mind is weakened, the body is also weakened. So parda is very important. In France, there was an incident where an Arab Muslim woman was a cashier in a supermarket. So in her line were four or five customers. So the fourth, fifth customer was a Muslim woman with niqab. When she came to pay, the Arab Muslim woman told her that we have got enough problems here in France. The whole world says, everyone feels all the problems are with me. And you are adding to our problem. The government don't want us to have niqab, so don't wear it. And if you want to wear it, go to your country and wear it there. Then you can do what you want to. But here, they don't want us to wear it, don't wear it. And also, there was a referendum held, and they found there are millions of Arabs in France, millions, women also. And only 200 born Muslim women wear the niqab. This is not, they were not curbing the born Muslims from wearing the niqab, the way it is the reverse that are coming. And what huge numbers and people of high, high position, attorneys and barristers at law, and engineers, top women. These people are maintained, and they maintain Islam properly. But my own eyes I saw, we went with Maulana Fasihuddin to tour one place where only French Muslims, they build a masjid, they're running a maktab, they're becoming alims by Maulana also. Maulana is teaching them also. And the Arab Muslims told them that until we, the old Muslims, the born Muslims, we are not part of this organization, your organization can't work, it won't carry on. They are not there, but it's carrying on. And the Arab Muslims, the vast majority, from head to toe, you don't see a sign of Islam. But these Muslims who become 100% from head to toe, you see Islam in them. So anyway, when that girl came forward to pay, so this Muslim girl told her that if you want to practice Islam, go to your country. In front of her, she lifted her niqab up. And then she told her, that you have sold your religion, we have bought our religion. A French woman, that you people sold your religion, we bought your religion. And they appreciate it much more. The other day I mentioned, when we were in Jamaat in Pakistan, many, many years ago, a woman of New York, a white woman, who had accepted Islam. And the first time she wore a burqa, and she looked at herself in the mirror with the burqa on. She cried so profusely. Everyone got worried, we upset her or what. She said, first time in my life, I see myself as a woman. Up to now, I was like a wild, a naked animal I was. Now I see myself as a woman. So burqa has given respect and honor to women. And behind it also, the outside also must be right. And the inside also must be right. And we must have our correct priorities, our values also correct. One time a flower, which is beautiful, a rose, whatever, of this family, the flower family, beautiful flowers, it went down to meet a pearl in the oyster at the bottom of the ocean. And then it told that oyster, which little bit history, they made friends, and said that I belong to the flower family, and we are all very beautiful, and we feel the roses, the petals, how like silk, how soft, how wonderful, the fragrance of flowers, different kind flowers, what fragrance, we are so beautiful. And then it said, with a little sadness in his voice, that we are grown by humans. Humans grow us. And they don't grow us for our sake, they grow us for their sake. They use us for a few days, then they throw us in a dustbin, they throw us by the side of the street. You tell me something about yourself also. He told the pearl in the oyster. The pearl said that our family, we stay far away from humans. More we stay under the bottom of the sea, the more safe we are. The more we cover ourselves with the oyster, the more our value increases also. And the more we are sought after. What is the moral of this? That those women who are just open, beautify themselves, they are just toys in the hands of men. And all, there is also a surprising thing, the fashion of women are not designed by women, they are designed by men. How men would like to see a woman, they design those fashion. And women must just live to please us, that we must get gratification. What our desires are, women must play just to our tune. And the women, they are so stupid, they don't. And also if you notice that radio stations or anything else, many other places also, for example, weekend programs, they give it to the woman. Men will take the weekend off. Night programs, men will sleep. Women, they put them on duty at night. Women are used so much, they are manipulated, but they don't realize. And they feel happy that we are being used, we are doing this. They are just being used and they are just being manipulated by men. So we should, this law of parda, women also must observe it properly, and very important, observe the proper parda. Many of us say, well anyway, this burqa is better than nothing. They are not wearing anything. So for how long? For a starting, you allow something, but now not whole life you carry on like that. They leaving their eyes open, but they covering their face at least. So appreciate that. Why you arguing and fighting about that? At least they're covering the face. But for how long will you carry on? Mustn't we move up and correct ourselves? And unfortunately, most of us, whether it's ulama's wife, whether it's tabligh people wife, Sufi wives, but we're not maintaining the laws of Sharia. We're making a mockery out of deen. And we're making it just an entertainment. If we want proper deen, bring deen as it is supposed to be. It's alright for a start, you do this, but then as you move up, come to the right thing. Come to the right level, what is required. May Allah give us tawfiq, and let us correct our lives, and maintain the eyes, the proper use of the eyes, and learn in this Ramzan, very Mubarak will be those ladies, or those men. Judge Adnan Ilahabadi was a judge in the high court. He says, jo chand bibiya be parda nazar aayi. More or less the words I don't remember exactly. But when I saw some woman without parda, jo unse poochha tumhara parda wo kya hua? What happened to your parda? Always you should be in parda. Cover yourself. Wo kehne lagi, they said that wo hamare mardo ke aklo pe par gaya. That parda has fallen on the head of our men. They can't even think, and they want us to open ourselves and to dress like that. A man who wants to get his woman must show herself. He is not fit to be a husband also. But the use of the lowest level, that who likes, and many are such, that with my friends you don't make parda. You must speak with them. And you want to show that I got such a beautiful. And how many? One Maulana Dawood is still in UK. Many years ago when I was in Germiston, he visited us here in South Africa, and he used to give very good Islahi bayans. So he went to one town where there the Muslims and non-Muslims very freely mixing with one another. Young boys, girls, everything. And from there a lot of problems came out, fitna came out. So he said that they all come, these non-Muslims, with how do you do, how do you do? And when they do you do? Then you realize now what has happened to my daughter. And what has happened to my sister now? All the time, very sweetly on top, how do you do, how do you do? But inside, all other things. So this laws of Shariat, I absolutely, if we want our Islam and we are sincere, and we are not having double standards, then bring it properly. And be sincere, and then we can expect the results. And then we can get closeness of Allah. By breaking His laws like this, and we want His closeness, and so many years I'm not getting the love of Allah, it can't come like this. One good friend of ours, on the phones, whenever sometimes we have to use it, photos of the grandchildren, etc. And they're saying that so many years, I can't get the love of Allah. Why the love of, these things, they block it. How can you get it? Double standards, not being sincere to oneself, these things just to show people that I'm very pious and put a pious front. That won't help us. Our matter is not what the peer sat and what sheikh sat. Our matter is what Allah Ta'ala. So if you are, and nobody can be perfect, but you are sincere and you try, then Allah's help will come to you. But if you just want to just be a slave of your nafs, how will it happen? وآخر دعوانا